Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining me today. I wanted to give you a few brief updates on some things we're working on here in Washington, then I'll open it up to your questions. First off, later today I'm going to be leading a Commerce Committee markup during which I expect the committee will approve the Comprehensive Transportation and Consumer Protection Act, which includes several important provisions that will be wrapped into this year's highway bill. The Commerce Committee has certain parts of that bill, and I hope that we're going to get on the full highway bill, possibly early next week. And the six-year bill that we will approve later today includes some important reforms to enhance safety, provide regulatory relief, streamline some grant programs, and improves the accountability and efficiency of some of the oversight efforts, some of the agencies that our committee has responsibility for. But we are one of four committees that has jurisdiction over the highway bill. I also serve on the Finance Committee, which is the committee that comes up with the pay-fors for the highway bill. But so we've been very involved in all those discussions, but I'm hopeful that we'll be able, in moving our part of it today through the Commerce Committee, to enact some of these key reforms and provide some much-needed regulatory relief to people in agriculture, in particular, transporters who are vital to our agricultural industry in South Dakota. And as I mentioned, I do expect the Senate to take up a highway bill, which I hope will be a multi-year bill, including the Commerce Committee provisions that we hope to approve later today, plus the other legislation from the other Senate committees as early as next week. Those things will all get married up when we get to the floor, and we'll have hopefully a full highway bill debate and discussion, and something that we can get on the President's desk eventually. This week, the Senate is wrapping up debate on the Bipartisan Every Child Achieves Act, or what we call ECAA, and that would reduce federal interference in education, put governors, school boards, parents, and teachers back in charge. I've introduced several amendments to this legislation that I hope will be considered in the next day or two. The first would require federal agencies to report on efforts to address the youth suicide crisis that we're experiencing in parts of Indian Country. Sadly, suicide is the second leading cause of death for Indian youth in the Indian Health Service areas, with a death rate four times the national average, which is stunning. And while there's a wide range of known factors that contribute to youth suicide, I think it's important for us to get a better understanding of how we can address this recent outbreak of suicides in Indian Country. The second measure I've introduced would strengthen the Project School Emergency Response to Violence Program, or what we call Project SERVE, to help schools prevent tragedies like youth suicide. And oftentimes we have, when something like this happens, programs that are response-type programs, but this would enable, improve, strengthen, and better resource the program that actually on the prevention side, so that we actually can try and prevent some of these things from happening in the first place. So I'm hopeful that both of these amendments will be included in the final bill before the Senate sends the legislation to the House for its consideration, and I hope that we will get this bill across the Senate floor and approved later this week. Finally, I just want to mention that you probably, of course, everybody has heard about the Iran nuclear agreement that was reached yesterday in Vienna. I obviously want, like everybody else, to take time to review the intricacies of the deal, but I'm very concerned about what I've seen so far, what I've heard so far. It looks like the Obama administration gave Iran nearly everything that it asked for. Sanctions are going to be lifted, but rather than Iran dismantling its existing nuclear enrichment infrastructure, the deal only calls on Iran to store or mothball its centrifuges. It doesn't have to get rid of them. It just basically buys a little time, but it's going to make them eventually a nuclear threshold state. The White House even capitulated on some non-nuclear-related items, such as the embargo on conventional weapons and ballistic missiles, which expire the conventional weapons in 5 years, the ballistic missile embargo in 8 years. And I think the thing that's really concerning is when you see Vladimir Putin and Syria's dictator, Bashar al-Assad, applaud the deal, it's pretty clear that America was on the short end. Once all the paperwork is submitted to Congress, we'll have 60 days to review and vote on whether to approve or disapprove it. But I think the administration is going to have a very heavy lift convincing Congress and the American people that what this seemingly, what appears to be a bad deal, is better than no deal at all. So we'll continue to look closely and scrutinize that. Congress will have an opportunity now to review it, but I have very serious concerns based on what I've seen and heard so far about the major issues that I think need to be addressed in any kind of a deal and how they were handled in this proposal and how much ground we gave to the Iranians in the process. So.